This is Radio Superior 1952, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the evening Gather Round show.
This is the voice from the land of 10,000 beautiful lakes, Tim Michael speaking. It's Election Day, Tuesday, November 4th, 1952. Lou Martin has the latest on the Eisenhower-Stevenson presidential race. Harriet is in. She's got some stuff going on with some people doing some stuff.
You didn't prepare for the show again, I see.
Yeah, that's more exciting to wing it. Come on, Lou, be spontaneous.
Spontaneity, as you call it.
I called it spontaneous, not spontaneity.
In any case, it means that you're not preparing.
Lewis, really? The Foxhole Gang is in to solve the world's problems, and Lou's second most hated feature, Stump the Listener.
Extremely annoying.
His most hated is Grapevine, although he'd win that contest. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Holzberg's Cleaners and Launderers, the cleaner bundle of laundry for just $1.50 a week at Holzberg's. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Tim, and good listeners. Ike and Adelaide await the nation's decision tonight. Heavy balloting is indicated in Superior. We'll have a live report from a polling place where McCarthy and Fairchild forces are hashing things out. We begin our report from New York City.
Good evening. This is Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. The oratorical guns that have been crashing and booming across the land for many months are silent now. The political swordplay is finished. The campaign is over. General Dwight D. Eisenhower returned to New York to await the decision of a nation. He made a last great appeal last night for a mandate from the American people to take his crusade into the White House. Peace, he says, is the dearest treasure in the sight of free men, unquote. And he placed it at the head of his objectives if he is elected. Eisenhower went home to sit out the biggest day of his life since that heavy hour of June 6, 1944 at Normandy, when having said, let her rip, there was nothing to do but wait. Then it was a great invasion. Today, it is the end of the struggle for the greatest office on earth. His wife, famous now as My Mamie, is beside him. The Republican nominee is the picture of confidence. Eisenhower is counting on two tides sweeping through all of the United States voters. One is his personal popularity. It appears to be immense. The other is the towering popular demand for a change of administration. With the Eisenhower camp in New York, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
This is Half Day Illinois. Don Whitehead here. Governor Adlai Stevenson came to this little village to cast his vote today. This comes after an election eve speech in which he declared the Korean problem must be freshly reviewed by fresh minds. The Democratic candidate's final speech from Chicago was a call to forget the bitterness, strife, and name-calling of the presidential campaign and to unite behind the winner, whoever he might be. He appealed to people to close their ears to the cowardly voices of hate and fear and suspicion and to believe and trust in each other. And he said, quote, if your decision is General Eisenhower and the Republican Party, I shall ask everyone who voted for me to accept the verdict with traditional American sportsmanship. If you select me, I shall ask the same of the Republicans, and I shall ask our Lord to make me an instrument of his peace, unquote. Stevenson's last-minute appeal came on a nationwide television and radio program in which he shared the spotlight with President Truman, Vice President Elbin Barkley, and his running mate, Senator John J. Sparkman of Alabama. In his references to the Korean War, Stevenson said, and we quote again, the miserable stalemate there must be freshly reviewed by fresh minds. Solution, settlement, and an armistice there is the first order of public business, unquote. Before he talked, President Truman, speaking from Kansas City, said, quote, this election may decide whether we go ahead and expand our prosperity or whether we fall back into a depression, unquote. Stevenson told his nationwide audience that he fought for the presidency, sparing nothing of himself and encouraged by new and old friends. Then he said, I believe the Democratic Party is the people's party. It is the party of no one because it is the party of everyone. And the world, the nation, and everyone in it are better and safer for it. I recall the night at Dallas when I spoke to Texans of my views about oil. I remember the crowd in Detroit on Labor Day when I said I would be the captain of no one but all the American people. I remember the American Legion Convention when I said that those who had served this country must always be Americans first and veterans second, and that our free enterprise system must include free enterprise for the mind. I remember the audience down south listening to what I had to say on civil rights, unquote. In Half Day, Illinois, this is Don Whitehead.
This is Kelvin Moore reporting from the Big Apple. Survey of three polls today showed them inclined to think General Dwight D. Eisenhower ahead in the presidential race, but none flatly picked him to win. The three are the Crosley poll, the Roper poll, and the Samuel Lutell analysis. Gallup poll results will not be available until tonight. The Crosley poll shows Eisenhower will get 47% of the vote to 43% for Governor Adlai Stevenson. Roper says his final poll, for which the interviewing ended Friday, shows that there are enough people still undecided to throw this election either way. In 1948, Roper gave Governor Thomas Dewey 52% of the vote in a pre-election forecast. He predicted 37% for President Truman in an election which Truman upset all pollsters and political experts. Crosley gave Dewey 50% and Truman 45%. In New York City, this is Kelvin Morin, Associated Press.
Westbrook Pegler here with the Commie Watch in D.C. At the close of this campaign, the Republican most hated and feared by Democrats and their rapscallion camp followers is not General Eisenhower, but Senator Joe McCarthy. For all Harry Truman's commotion about Wall Street, special interests, and civil rights, McCarthy comes thundering home on the issue of treason. The Democrats could have taken the play away from Joe by attacking the conspirators planted by their own party and adopting patriotism as a policy. They could have blamed it all on an ingrate Soviet Russia. But they belittled the red baiters instead, and this meant that patriotic citizens were insulted and ridiculed as stupid dupes of an old discredited tradition. In the final arrangements for his 30-minute television exposé of Adlai Stevenson's plain record of active cooperation with communists, Joe McCarthy got only 4 hours sleep in a stretch of 36 hours. Eisenhower's renown among Army men of his own age as a man who can't make firm decisions on principle was vindicated in this campaign. If anyone rode anyone's coattails in Wisconsin, Ike rode Joe's. Yet the presidential nominee dealt with Joe at arm's length because of his New York sycophants, the Herald Tribune and the Times, neither of them in any sense Republican. The Herald Tribune's roster of household Reds and fellow travelers is something for historians to muse upon. In Washington, this is your columnist, Westbrook Pegler.
Hello, this is Max Jordan in Seoul, South Korea. Dug-in Allied soldiers hurled back Credon Red assaults on the Korean Central and Eastern fronts today. North Korean communists launched 6 attacks on Heartbreak Ridge. Each was stopped cold despite unusually heavy red artillery and mortar fire. Chinese Reds on the Central Front stormed all night long at South Korean positions atop bloody Sniper Ridge. ROKs beat back the final assaults at dawn. The U.S. 8th Army says Sniper Ridge and nearby Triangle Hill are quieter today than at any time since the Allies launched their Central Front attack on October 14th. Mercury dipped to a bone-chilling 1 degree above zero. American soldiers huddled around their radios for the latest news of the U.S. presidential election. Most interested listener is Ike's son, Major John Eisenhower. In Seoul, this is Max Jordan.
Brigadier General Cornelius Ryan says today that there will be a sizable increase in the South Korean Army under orders from Washington. General Ryan has spent 11 months in Korea and is building up the Korean Republic forces to its previous strength of 10 divisions. Regardless of who wins in today's election, he won't be allowed to serve more than 2 terms in office. The new president will be the first, limited to 1 re-election. This comes after the ratification of the 22nd Amendment to the Constitution last year. As sitting president, Mr. Truman could have run for another term since the 22nd Amendment only affects new presidents. but President Truman decided not to run for a second full term. President Truman and his wife and daughter Margaret cast their votes for Adlai Stevenson in Independence, Missouri. In his final act of service for the Illinois governor, the 68-year-old Truman says he has worked harder for Stevenson than even his own election in 1948. KUWS Radio News Time, 6:10. Tim Michaels has this message from Holtzberg's Laundry.
How would you like to save work, save time, save money, and save fabrics? Well, it's time to bring your laundry into Holtzberg's Cleaners and Launderers. And they've got a bargain for you. They've got a laundry bargain bundle service this week and this week only for only $1.50. That's right. Your whole family can have their wash sparkling clean and fresh new clothes. They have a new miracle process in dry cleaning. Give your old clothes a new look and make colors brighter, cleaner, and smooth. So dial today, 6685, and take advantage of the $1.59 weekly laundry bargain at Holtzberg's Cleaners and Launderers. Lou?
A superior youth has been killed in action in Korea. 18-year-old Larry Dennis O'Brien was killed October the 27th while serving with Company K of the 9th Infantry Battalion. His last letter to his mother, Mrs. Mildred Malone, says that he was fighting in the Chinese Hill region. Private O'Brien went to the Blaine Elementary School, Central High School, was a member of the Concordia Lutheran Church. There's heavy balloting in Superior so far today. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson is at the city clerk's office.
Don't be a pinko. Vote for McCarthy.
I said don't be a fascist and vote for Fairchild.
You tell only the fate of the whole world falling into Joe Stalin's hands is at stake, that's all.
A fate only a little worse than Joe McCarthy getting reelected there, Mac.
All right, you two, out of the polling place. There'll be no politicking going on here.
Well, he yelled at me.
I did not. And besides, he waved his finger at me.
I did not.
That's it.
What on earth is going on there?
Ouch! Ouch! Oh, you're too much!
Hey, lady, don't be so rough.
Yeah, I'll watch the merchandise.
Yeah.
Good evening, Lou. True to predictions, voters are turning out in large numbers here today. A check of polling places from Billings Park to Aloise shows that this could be a record voter turnout. Polling clerks say the numbers twice that of September's primary turnout. Some of the comments I've gotten include very good to oh heavens. One more vote we've been tabulating is complete, with Governor Stevenson carrying the city over General Eisenhower. That vote is of the school children from 9th to 12th grade at Central and East High Schools. Three elementary schools also voted today, with Eisenhower doing better with the younger students at Blaine and Patterson schools. However, it was Adlai over Ike at the Erickson School today, Lou.
What on earth is going on there?
What do you mean?
It sounds like people are fighting.
Good point, Lou. Emotions are running high in the race for U.S. Senate. The poll judge just kicked out a couple of rogue voters who are apparently on opposing political sides, Lou.
Good observation, Mike. The races for Wisconsin governor and U.S. Senate are a big draw. Capitol reporter John Powell has this from Madison.
Wisconsin's solid Republican administration is up for re-election in its entirety, with Governor Walter Kohler Jr. heading the ticket. He's opposed by Democratic Assemblyman William Proxmire of Blooming Grove. Proxmire wound up his marathon radio broadcast at the stroke of midnight last night after 30 continuous hours on the air. He said it was the longest political talk ever made. Len Schmidt of Merrill, who lost the Republican senatorial nomination to Senator Joseph McCarthy September 9th, once staged a 26-hour radio marathon. Proxmire, who doesn't smoke and took no stimulant of any kind during his broadcast, answered between 600 and 700 questions from his listeners, questions touching a multitude of points. Meanwhile, in the U.S. Senate race, first-term Republican Senator McCarthy said, quote, "I ask the American people, especially good, loyal Democrats, remember Stevenson said, judge me by the advisors I select," and then selected a top advisor who says, "If you know about communism, if you know about treason, don't tell the FBI," unquote. McCarthy also charged that the Democrats sank to a new low in campaign degeneracy and dishonesty by having former FBI investigator Edward P. Morgan speak against him in Milwaukee Sunday. Appearing with McCarthy's opponent, Thomas Fairchild, Morgan called McCarthy the voice of fascism and the secret weapon of communists in this country. He says McCarthy has absolutely no proof when he claims there are 206 communists in the State Department and that he has used false documents. In Madison, this is John Powell reporting.
Finally, Tim and good listeners, a straw vote for president among inmates of the Wisconsin State Reformatory in Green Bay resulted in a victory for General Eisenhower. The poll gives 313 votes for the Republican and 229 for Democrat Governor Stevenson.
You missed the most interesting vote of the day, Lou.
I'm not going to ask. Not that it matters if I do or not.
The vote at the dog pound was 26 for Buster, 20 for Nipper, and 14 for Murray. Apparently, Buster smells the best. Thanks, Lou Martin, the best doggone newsman around. We have the forecast for this November 4th, 1952. Cloudy and mild tonight with a low of 33, but we could get a little snow tonight, too. Expect a high tomorrow of 43. It's music time. Here's Brooke Benton, and it's just a matter of time on the Gather On Election Night Show.
Someday, some way, you'll realize that you've been blind. Yes, darling, you're going to need me again. It's just a matter of time.
Go on. Go on.
Until you reach the end of the line. But I know you'll pass my way again. It's just a matter of time. After I gave you everything I had, you laughed and called me a clown. Remember, in your search for fortune and fame, what goes up that one day you'll wake up and find that my love was a true love. It's just a matter of time.
Brooke Benton, and it's just a matter of time on KUWS. The Foxhole Gang is in next, and I've got the latest tally from the dog pound. It appears Nipper is pulling ahead of Buster and Murray is dog food. Now, Rosemary Clooney and Come On to My House on the election day. Gather around.
Come on to my house, in my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, do I? Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you figs and dates and grapes and cakes, eh? Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you marriage ring and a pomegranate. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you peach and pear and I love your hair. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you east side. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything, everything, everything. Come on to my house.
Rosemary Clooney and Come On to My House on KUWS. Well, in our unending quest to search to solve the world's problems, we bring in the fellows from the Foxhole Gang.
There are several of them, led by George G. Newton. They'll be talking about democracy in the presidential election. Very topical, George.
Well, it would be if we were talking about Ike and Adlai. But we're not.
Hey, that there's a good idea. Why don't we decide to talk about Ike and Adlai?
That's too dang obvious, Ollie.
Stanley saw it. The Foxhole Gang is above the normal plateau of the masses.
Let me introduce the fellas. Here's Ollie.
How do you do?
Glad to meet you, Lou. Corky Swanton here, but everyone calls me Swanee.
And this is Professor Harold Dukeschlen.
And everyone calls you Duke?
Certainly not.
The professor is the jokester amongst us.
That was a joke?
We're not saying he's a good jokester.
Jeez, Lou, this is really dragging. Why don't you move the Wolf Lair gang along?
That's Foxhole Gang, Tim Boy. Foxhole.
The origin of the name stems from the fact that our membership is comprised of veterans of the First or Second World Conflagration.
Most of the time, the name is fitting for the places we meet.
That was to be my humorous line.
See, like, you know, when it's nice out, we do our kibitzing out in the open.
In the winter, we used to meet in the professor's living room, but his wife banished us to the basement.
Yeah, and then the furnace room.
She thought that we could make a contribution to the hot air she expended in our home.
At some point, I trust that we'll get some global problems.
Isn't that new United Nations building crazy looking?
Very apropos. Suitable for an aggregation of political fanatics.
We're observing the 7th birthday of the United Nations.
What we're trying to figure out is, what's to celebrate?
Precisely.
We mean to say, what have they accomplished? Have they stopped war?
Ended disease and starvation?
Bought freedom from repression?
Like, you know, the question is, what good has come from the past 7 years?
Well, the Brooklyn Dodgers finally won a pennant.
With the pitching of U.N. Secretary Trygve Lie, I suppose.
The United Nations Secretary speaks of peace for the world, but they do nothing. In fact, they do not punish rogue nations who violate this sacred pact.
People on our planet are used to war. It'll take time, money, and blood before people get over that war habit.
Like that there dope or whiskey habit? It's hard to break.
I think the UN will cause another world war. And you know we can't afford another one of those.
You got that right, Swanee. It'll be the end of mankind, is what?
There'll be peace on Earth and goodwill to dead men.
Whoa, three guys solving all the world's problems.
They didn't solve anything. They just complained.
We used to have four guys. But Joe quit.
But he was too unconstructive. Never had anything good to say about anything.
Very depressing.
The wisdom of the Hole in the Wall Gang.
The Foxhole Gang, Tim Boy.
Now, here's a big one. From Sammy Kay and Lavender Blue.
Dilly Dilly.
On the Gather Around Show.
Lavender Blue. Dilly dilly, lavender green. If I were king, dilly dilly, I'd need a queen. Who told me so? Dilly dilly, who told me so? I told myself, dilly dilly, I told me so. If your dilly-dilly heart feels a dilly-dilly way, and if you'll answer yes, in the pretty little church on a dilly-dilly day, you'll be wed in the dilly-dilly dress of lavender blue. Dilly-dilly, lavender green, then I'll be king. Dilly-dilly, and you'll be my queen. If your dilly dilly heart feels a dilly dilly way, and if you answer yes, in the pretty little church on the dilly dilly day, you'll be wed in the dilly dilly dress of lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green. Then I'll be king, dilly dilly, and you'll be my queen.
Sammy Kay and Lavender Blue on KUWS.
It's community news time with the woman who knows all the goings-on from Foxborough to tomorrow, Miss Harriet Farrig.
Lewis, my goodness.
That's getting close to being fancy, Mr. Fancy Boy.
I'm just trying to jazz things up a bit. Harriet deserves it.
Isn't he the sweetest thing?
Oh, I've always thought so.
Newsmen are not sweet.
Oh, of course not. Even though the Foxtrot gang act like a bunch of curmudgeons over the United Nations, there are many ladies who beg to differ. In fact, World Community Day will be celebrated this Friday at First Baptist Church. The theme for the meeting will be Building a Permanent Peace. The Reverend Kendall North will conduct a worship service at 10:30 that morning, followed by a solo by Miss Marianne Taylor. The program will be presented by Reverend John Simmons, pastor of Holy Trinity English Lutheran Church.
It's ecumenical.
Gesundheit.
Oh, Timothy, really? Also on Friday, the Superior Women's Club will hear about Social Security when they meet at Hammond Avenue Presbyterian Church. Social Security District Manager Thomas Plant will give a talk on what Social Security means to you. Mr. Plant is a native of Ashland, you know, and he's working in Superior. His district covers 7 counties where 3,000 people now receive Social Security benefits. I'll have a tasty quick recipe for you ladies, but first, a message from Nottingham Beauty Clinic. The ideal gift for mother, mother-in-law, sister, or sweetheart is a Nottingham Beauty gift certificate. A $2.50 gift certificate includes a haircut, shampoo, and hair styling, while a $3.98 gift will also get you a permanent.
Lou's your sweetheart, and he could sure use a shampoo and permanent. He's had fedora hair lately.
Louis looks good in his fedora, and, well, you may be right.
I do not have hat hair.
Ladies, I know it's difficult to always come up with something scrumptious morning after morning, but I have something special sent to me by Miss Lillian Latish.
Lillian Latish sent a recipe about a breakfast dish?
Sounds more like a B movie star.
Timothy? Louis, really? Chipped beef and scrambled eggs makes a real hearty winter breakfast. Lightly brown the chipped beef, then add a beaten egg and milk mixture.
Let's see, lightly brown and chipped beef, then add a beaten eggs and light mixture.
Yes. Cook over low heat and stir occasionally.
Cook low heat, stir occasionally.
Serve with hot biscuits or muffins and jam.
Serve with hot biscuits and muffins and jam and peanut butter.
What are you doing?
It's helpful to repeat recipe instructions for the listener.
Thank you, Timothy, but I said biscuits or muffins and no peanut butter.
I know, but I like them both. Well, thanks, Harriet. Step the Listener is next, and the Dog Pound Bunch will be my next victim.
That's the Foxhole Gang, and you've never stumped the listener.
Funny how that happens. From 1951, here's Patti Page in the Tennessee Waltz on the Gather Around Show.
I was dancing with my darling to the Tennessee Waltz when an old friend I happened to see. I introduced her to my loved one, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee Waltz. Now I know just how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee Waltz.
Rhode Island to the Tennessee walls. What an old friend I happened to see. I introduced her to my loved one, and while they were dancing, my friends stole my sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee walls. Now I know just how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee Waltz.
Patty Page and the Tennessee Waltz on KUWS. All right, it's time for Stump the Listener with the Gas House Gang.
That's Foxhearted Gang.
We're ready for you, Tim Boy.
I will not be intimidated by an evil laugh. Three questions tonight, and you need to get them all right if you're going to win free humdinger sandwiches from Kitch's Restaurant at 5th Street and Fisher. Number one. How many original copies of the Gutenberg Bible exist?
I'll take that one if you fellas don't mind.
After you, Ollie.
According to the Library of Congress, there are only 46 known copies left.
Hey, what if you got one of those x-ray glasses so you can see my answers? By the way, does Lou get half of your humdinger sandwich if he sneaks you the answers?
Well, I never.
Question number two. What is the origin of the word slacker?
A slacker is one who slacks or shirks in doing his duty.
It was made popular in World War One. Yeah.
And has been kept in vogue by Colonel Raffaele on our show.
Hey, something smelly. I mean, the Danish is rotten here.
Not at all. It's a matter of record, my good man. And the term is something's rotten in Denmark.
Question three, please.
All right, this is for all the humdingers. What's the world's highest capital city?
La Paz, Bolivia. It lies in a valley about 12,000 feet above sea level. Voila! Let's go to Kitch's.
So, Timothy, why didn't you ask the fourth question?
Because I didn't have enough time. Hey, wait a sec. How'd you know there were four questions, Harriet?
Because there are four questions in today's editorial page quiz. You just asked the first three.
This is your research? The editorial page of the daily newspaper?
Well, I didn't think anyone read the editorial page.
Just because you read the comics and Dorothy Dix doesn't mean that others don't read the news and editorial page.
So that's it. Huh. At least I know why I've never been able to stump the listener.
How many years has he been doing Stump the Listener?
About 10.
And he's just catching on now?
Kind of sad, isn't it?
Kind of Tim, I'd say.
All right, you guys. Say goodnight, everyone.
Good night.
You might try getting some questions out of the Academy of Academic Science.
I don't think that he subscribes.
Ha ha ha.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1952, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Danielle Kading, Al Katz, John Munson, Brian Matuzak, Bruce McDonald, Kent Vogel. All events reported on Radio Superior 1952 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.